So I kind of feel like I've fallen in love with the Sermon on the Mount again. And to sum it up today, I think what Jesus is telling us is that we need heart surgery. We need heart surgery. Just a little tongue-in-cheek here to start out. Just so you realize like how hard it is to preach to you. And that's not just me. That could be any Catholic church in the whole world, all right? But just take this into mind. There are some of you here who believe that if you follow the rules, you attend, you punch your card, you do what you're supposed to do, that you're going to go to heaven. And you really believe that. Now, there are others of you here who you believe that the Catholic Church has way too many rules. And it's really just about loving Jesus. And as long as we love Jesus, it's okay if I break the rules, I'm going to go to heaven. And I'm supposed to preach to both of you, all right? How am I supposed to do that? Well, welcome to the Sermon on the Mount today. Because actually, that's exactly kind of what Jesus is doing here. He's taking those things and he's saying, look, neither of those is what I'm talking about, okay? Neither of those views are Christian, actually. I want you to really root that in you. Because this is probably the two most common ways people think about their spiritual life. And neither are Christian. The first one, that's the Pharisees. That's what they taught. That's the Old Testament. To believe that I follow all the rules, then I am righteous and I can go to heaven. That hasn't come into the New Testament yet. That leaves no room for Jesus to come and to save us and to change us and transform us. But the other one, honestly, it's even worse. Because the other view is actually paganism. Because I can just do what I want to do. I don't have any higher authority that can tell me rules or laws that I have to change myself for them. I just do whatever feels good. So what does it mean to be Christian then? Well, sometimes it's easier to give an example that actually has nothing to do with faith in the church. So let me start with here. Friday night, I finally went to my first basketball game of the year, and it was great. I was really glad I got to go, and they won. So they told me, and now I have to keep coming back, all right? Apparently so. But what it did for me was it actually just reminded me of high school, thinking of my time playing basketball. And I really loved, throughout my high school, being on the basketball team. I loved it. We were really good. My senior year, we took the conference championship. It was a lot of fun. But I say I really loved being on the team on purpose because I really didn't play. I mostly sat the bench. If I got in 2 minutes a game, it was a good game, you know? It was great. In fact, little side story, one of the times the coach, he put me in, I was very quick, you know, he put me in, he said, your job, Craig, is to follow as quick as possible, and then we'll take you out, so we get to the foul line, so we can try to win the game. I was like, okay, half a second, no joke. I was so proud of myself, I got in, I got out, half a second. Here's the thing, so like, I strove so hard, I loved the game. I tried really hard to learn the plays and to really know the different, you know, talent, the way to do it, the strategies, it's all that kind of stuff. But the reality is I just didn't have that instinct, like to read the court. You know, I just didn't have, well, plus hand-eye coordination, but that's another matter. I had a good buddy of mine on the team as well. He had the most amazing instinct of anyone I've ever played with. My coach told me once, he's like, if I could give him, like, your striving to actually want to learn the plays and, like, figure things out and apply himself in that way to be a team, he'd be amazing. But instead, he just played from his instinct, and he didn't really play as a team, and it ended up being about himself and whatever he wanted to do. So my point is, you need both to get Michael Jordan, all right? You gotta have both. You gotta be striving to follow the rules, to know it, but you gotta have the heart as well. So let's go back to the sermon. I think the key to understanding the Sermon on the Mount is a prophecy that Jeremiah gave in the Old Testament, and Jesus fulfills it. It's Jeremiah chapter 31. He said, the days will come when I will make a new covenant with my people. And that's what Jesus said. This is the blood of the new covenant. And in those days, he said, I will place my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. See, that's what needs to happen. Not to throw out the laws or to change them to make the way I feel, make them fit the way I feel. No, I need to be transformed in my heart so that they're written there. It's an interior transformation. That's what Christianity is. It's not about the exterior rules only. And so this is what Jesus says. He says, don't think I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So that's what Jesus says. In fact, I will not take away the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter of the law until all things have passed. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of the commandments or teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Those are strong words. This is not someone who's throwing out the law and saying, well, you just have to love and that's it. But if you obey and teach these commandments to others, you will be called the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But then he says this, but unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not even enter the kingdom of heaven. And they're like, what? They're the guys who got it together. Like, they're the righteous. And he's like, no. He always criticizes the Pharisees because it's not in their heart. That their hearts are actually unclean. They're just following rules. Their hearts are actually far from God. So that's what he's saying. No, it has to like get rid in your heart. So how do we do that? How do we have heart surgery? Well, it's always good to start by looking at Jesus. In fact, that'll be the whole point. But just look at Jesus for a moment and really consider him. As he's teaching this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus already has this heart. He has the heart of God. Because he's God. But he has the heart of one of us, our heart. He has the heart of God there. And so many people hurt that heart of Jesus. Jesus got really hurt. But he never held a grudge. And he always forgave. Jesus was a real man. He experienced sexual desires as any man experiences. But he never struggled with the teaching of his father, of God's teaching about sexuality. He never fell into the lust. He was pure of heart, which actually is why it was so powerful when he would look at people. Like the woman caught in adultery, when he looked at her and she saw in his eyes a pure and a holy love that she had never experienced from any man ever before in her life. That's what changed her, right? Jesus knew who he belonged to, that he belonged to God. So he never had to lie or to gossip or to swear, to exaggerate in order to please other people. It was written in his heart, honesty, integrity, humility. Jesus fulfills the law because it's written on his heart. That's the answer. That's Christianity, you guys. It's a new way of living, actually. It's about the law, yes, but it also has to be in the heart, about the heart. It's both together. That's the Sermon on the Mount. And what we believe as Christians is something really radical. We believe that Jesus can actually come into us and transform this stony, hardened heart to become like that heart. That's Christianity. That he's actually able to transform my heart to become like his. He doesn't just cover us over with snow and make us look pretty. He goes interior. And that's hard work. It's a lot harder, actually, than just trying to follow laws on one level. So each of us has a weak spot. Maybe yours is lust. Maybe yours is food. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe it's fear. It's actually okay. All of us have weak points in us, all right? We're all fallen. St. Thérèse of Lisieux, she had a great line. She said, when Satan comes after me in that spot in me, I am very courageous. I turn and I run to Jesus. That's exactly right. I turn and I run to Jesus, right? When I least feel like going to him, when I have the most resistance in my heart at that very moment, that's the moment of conversion, she said. That's the moment of victory. That's the moment of heart surgery. And so that's the moment where I'm courageous and I run to Jesus. Which means that when I feel anger at my brother, it's not enough just to pretend to be kind to him, and then I'm Christian. You actually have to take what's in your heart and to run to Jesus with that. Say, Jesus, there's so much anger in my heart. I've been shoving it down my whole life and ignoring it, but it's there. It's a lot harder to actually lay that open before him. There could be a whole lifetime of hurts that are behind that anger. And to open that up to Jesus, and Jesus saying, yes, I've been wanting to go to that place in you for a long time. Let's start healing. When I fall into impurity, to not only just go to confession, which I need to do, but even before that, in fact, to run to Jesus with that and bring those desires to him. You're like, what? Those desires? Like, Jesus doesn't want that, man. No, Jesus wants that. He wants that. He created you with them. They may be twisted, but they're not bad. So go to him, because God created it so that his love could satisfy it. We actually believe that the love of God can satisfy our sexual desires. So you turn to Jesus there and say, Jesus, I need you to help me here, to love me in this place in my heart in a way that I didn't know I could be loved today. Instead of running to porn or to sin, that I turn to you and ask you to fill me there. When I want to please people, there's actually really deep stuff going on there. Bring those feelings of insecurity and loneliness, of that fear of rejection, and run to Jesus with those. And that, my brothers and sisters, is already the victory. I want you to see that today. When you run to Jesus with your heart, with those things, that's already the victory. Because we receive that same gaze of Jesus on us like that woman's received. And that gaze, that look of love, is what starts to do the heart surgery inside of us. Jesus is there now. And he will help me with his grace to strive to choose to follow him, that his teaching and his laws start to get written here. And at times, I'll succeed at that, and at times, I'm going to fail at that. It's actually not the most important thing. The point is that I'm running to Jesus, and that's the victory, because he will help me, and he will do the work in me. That's what we believe as Christians. You know, it seems in one way, like I said, a lot easier to just kind of follow the rules and to punch my card. But actually, I can tell you, there's a whole lot more freedom when I let him actually give me a new heart. Coming to church is no longer a burden, because I've actually fallen in love with Jesus in the Eucharist. This becomes my home. I couldn't imagine being anywhere else than here. You see the freedom in there, the love that's there. It's written in my heart. So I guess you could say the point of the homily today is, don't be Pharisees and don't be pagans, all right? Let's be Christians. Let's be Christians. There's so much arguing in the church. And I think a lot of it really has to do with the fact that we don't get this right. And so we're arguing from two sides and neither are Christian. Pope Francis says something and you got everybody saying, I'm afraid that he's changing the rules of the church and the teaching of the church. And I'm afraid that he's going to change them. And the other side is like, I'm really excited because I think he's going to change the teaching and the rules of the church. And I'm sorry, you guys, but Pope Francis is Catholic. He's not changing the teaching and the rules of the church, okay? So both sides are wrong. We're not here to change the catechism. We're here to be Catholics. It's the teaching of Jesus that we receive. We're just here to live it. No, we have to actually go to a much deeper level. We need to be Christians to bring our broken hearts and lives to him and let him do heart surgery. My brothers and sisters, Jesus said, that's the only way to enter the kingdom of heaven.